Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Connecting the Diocese as we conclude this very eventful week. As a news junkie, I can't help but think that the history books are going to have to fill several pages on just what was going on these past several days. We have the ongoing January 6th hearings, the overturning of Roe v. Wade on Friday, and lots of questions about the future. Closer to home for some young men in the Diocese of La Crosse, Saturday is their big historic day when they take vows to become priests in the Catholic Church and to serve people for most likely many, many years to come. It was extremely difficult to find anybody in our diocese, in the Curia staff or whatever, to be a guest today. But it's also the first show of summer, so we're going to kick back, relax, and have a bit of fun. More after this on Connecting the Diocese. The first summer show will start in just a few minutes. A while back, I was reading that some years ago, in London, England, they discovered that the white moths were disappearing. They were being replaced by darker moths, gray or dark brown. And they were trying to figure out why this was going on. It turns out that due to air pollution, things like that, diesel exhaust, etc., some of the walls of the buildings and the bark of some of the trees were becoming coated and were getting darker. And so what was happening was that the white moths on the dark surfaces were much easier to spot by birds than the darker moths, and consequently were getting eaten, and consequently were not reproducing and making any more white moths. I'm also reading that there are now a couple of variants of COVID-19 that are managing to make an end run around certain parts of the current vaccines, although the current vaccines will still prevent you from getting very, very sick if you get infected by one of these variants. And, of course, they are now trying to come up with another tweak to the vaccine to cover the new variations. But it's very, very much like the situation with the moths. The virus tries to survive, and it adapts. And basically, if all of a sudden a vaccine comes along that knocks out a good portion of the existing virus types, the stuff that doesn't get knocked out, then expand, just the same way that there were more dark moths because all the white moths were getting eaten. So when you hear about new variants and new vaccines being developed to combat them, please don't go around saying, oh, those guys at the CDC, they don't know nothing. They know a great deal. Their big concern is that an increasing number of people think that COVID is already over, and it is not. It waxes and it wanes as new variants come along. So keep paying attention. Check your county levels online and take precautions as needed. COVID-19 is boring and tiresome, but together we will get through this whole mess and someday it will be gone. My old radio buddy Paul Sadek will be joining us in about 60 seconds if you'll just bear with me to kick off the summer season. What you're about to hear is courtesy of three different vocal groups from three different countries, USA, Belgium, and Germany. Okay, control room. Hit the button.
It's summertime, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime, summertime, summertime.
It's summertime, 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 summertime. Shut the books and throw away. Say goodbye to those school days. Look alive and change your ways. It's summertime. Time to head straight for the mills. It's time to live and have some thrills. Come along and have a ball.
Well, as promised, Paul Sadek is joining us from the Twin Cities, from the Relevant radio station there that he operates, as well as many other things going on. Paul, how you doing?
I am hanging by a thread, but at least I'm hanging.
We do a summer show. Usually it's movies or books, some music sometimes, things like that. A little change of pace, partly because, again, this week, because of the ordination and priest unity days and many other things going on, everybody at the diocese is busy. They're just busy. And I thought we'd best just to have a kickback and we can relax a little bit after an interesting several days here. But anyway, hey, how are you feeling? You've gotten over your COVID a while back, I'm assuming.
Well, I had COVID twice.
Yes, yes.
Once a year ago, March, and then again in December. Neither one was much fun.
No.
caught a couple of nasty colds in the interim, and I said, please, Lord, don't let it be COVID, and yeah, it wasn't. But
good.
I've gotten past the COVID thing both times, without too much trouble.
Good, good. I was talking to our FedEx delivery guy, and we've had 2 days, at least here, where we had heat advisories. And so I had a cold, unflavored LaCroix water, and I'm bringing it out to them because their trucks are not air-conditioned. They may have a gallon of water that they got at a Quick Trip or something, but it's not cold. Anyway, I bring this to him, and he thanked me very much, but he says, no, ever since I've had COVID, I got COVID a year ago, most water doesn't taste right to me.
Well, you see, that's one thing that that didn't affect me. They say taste and smell goes wonky when you have COVID. It didn't for me either time.
Yeah, that's good, because we had relatives who said that, I think I may have told you this before, they were driving home from buying a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and were wondering why it didn't fill the car with chicken smell. and they got tested, and that's what it was. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're doing okay on that. Keeping relatively safe.
Can't keep me down for too long.
Not too long. No, you do well. You do really well. And you're still doing your morning show, which starts up at what time of the
day? Daybreak at 4 a.m. every morning, 7 days a week. On Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app at any time that you want to check it out.
Sure. And how many years have you been doing this now?
Oh, gosh. Let me see. It's been about 11 now.
Yeah.
It's about 11 years.
I think one thing that people don't realize, and I'm not patting us on the back, I'm just mentioning this to us, that you've got to have a show. I mean, if you don't, there's like, what do they do? And so you're getting ready to take some vacation time in July, and so you're working overtime to kind of get things done ahead of time.
Yes, yes.
It's just how it works. At Christmas time, I'm working on the Christmas show, you know, in November.
Right. Oh, sure.
Just to get it done.
Well, like in the record industry, they're recording Christmas albums in June.
Yeah, right. We should talk a bit about, I haven't looked at any terrifically new music lately. I just haven't had time. But first, I want to talk to you about movies. It seems like I have been falling into categories. I get to look at a lot of indie movies because...
You're my weird movie friend, Jack. You've turned me on to so many strange movies that I just love.
You know, I'm to the point now where a lot of the Hollywood blockbuster productions are basically Marvel comics made into movies.
Well, that's true.
And, you know, how many of these can you watch unless you're a fan of that kind of thing? And also, I tend to stay away from a so-called action movie where on the front cover of the DVD or whatever it happens to be, there's a guy brandishing a revolver.
Yeah.
You just know, and there's a car crashing behind him.
You know, I can take that once in a while just for the sake of seeing the action scenes and enjoying the special effects employed, but not as a steady diet.
I was just reading somewhere, there were people talking about our culture getting basically anesthetized to violence, which, because it's in the news constantly, and how many mass shootings can you deal with before you protectively just shut down around it?
But and video games, too.
Yeah, exactly. And this one guy says he is a emergency room doctor, and where he happens to be, it's near some city, he takes care of a lot of bar fights. And he says in all these action movies, the guy gets into this horrific bar fight, and the next day you see him with just a Band-Aid on his forehead.
Yeah.
And he says, trust me, more things happen to your face in bar fights than just a Band-Aid will fix.
Well, it's true, because you have very thin layer of tissue on your forehead, for example.
And especially if you're getting your head slapped against a bar and a bottle broken on it. You know, it's just not realistic. And so the idea of getting into a bar fist fight with Clint Eastwood or something is just a piece of cake. No, doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. I got to mention this first movie because I was deeply impressed. I found it on DVD. It's an indie movie. It is, believe it or not, right now free on YouTube. So anybody can watch it. It's, and you got to be careful because there's about 15 movies with the same almost name. This one is simply called Returned. Not The Returned. Not Returned Zombies. Not Returned whatever. Just Returned.
Okay. I'm looking it up on IMDb as we speak.
Okay. It's a 2013 movie.
Got it.
Now, usually when I see an indie movie and the credits are rolling and the same person's name shows up eight times, or a family member, you know.
That's a tip off that it was low budget.
Well, yeah, and this was admittedly low budget, but the guy who did it, his name is Lamont Grant, not only co-wrote this, he directed it, he filmed it, he did the location scouting, he helped out with the clothing design to make sure that, you know, they looked good, and he did an outstanding job. Outstanding. I have to do a side thing. I occasionally watch the other indie movies. There's a group called The Asylum who are nuts. They always make knockoffs of famous movies.
Okay.
You know, they did Snakes on a Plane. They did Snakes on a Train.
Okay.
You know, they just do stuff like that. And they did a knockoff of The War of the Worlds because it's in public domain.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Because they're a low-budget company, they use the same basic khaki uniforms or whatever or fatigues in every movie, and they just stick on different patches with Velcro.
Okay, sure.
Well, in this one movie, I'm watching this thing on a DVD player so I can stop it. They got this guy who's an American soldier, and of course, he's fighting the Martians, and he's got an American flag on one side, and he turns around, and he's got an American flag on the other shoulder, but they Velcroed it on upside down. No attention to detail. And then they'll frequently show you like police in uniforms or high-ranking officers at the Pentagon, and they didn't bother to get haircuts.
Yeah.
You know, man, they have mullets. I mean, it's stuff. It's because I'm not cutting my hair for the kind of money you're paying me. But this was not the case in Lamont Grant's movie.
I did find it, by the way, starring Jordan Anderson, Anthony Brown, Robin Brown, Michael Casey, and Freddie Green, Aaron Harris, and a bunch of other people you've never heard of.
That's correct. And the story is this guy is found floating in the ocean after being missing for many, many years. He was last seen aborting a plane to New York for chemotherapy because he was in the last stages of some kind of bad cancer. And he's not any older, and he no longer has cancer.
Okay.
And it's an abduction X-Files kind of movie, okay? As you watch this movie, again, the acting was good. The locations, the lighting, everything was like first class. I mean, really, really good. And at one point, you suddenly realize that all of the actors in this movie are African-American.
Okay.
And your first reaction as an average white guy is, well, that's odd. Where are the white people? You know, and then your second reaction, if you're at all intelligent, is now you know what it's like to be a black person watching Hollywood movies with no black people in them. You know, it's very good. And then after you get past that little bump, you suddenly realize, I don't care. This is a good movie. These people are acting well. They're doing the FBI agent and their buddy talking in the car. Everything is natural and cool. This guy wakes up after being in a coma in the hospital, having been rescued from the ocean. And the first thing he sees, and this is like 20 years later, 12 years later, quite a bit longer, is this newscaster who also happens to be a very attractive black woman doing news. And he goes, no. She was on the plane with me. And it just gets more and more mysterious. And I was literally watching this thing at night, and it was getting close to go to bed, and I had to keep watching it to find out what the heck happened to this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
An excellent film. And also, you know, what do you expect from an unknown young man who's working on a shoestring with other black artists? I found him on Facebook. And I wrote to him, and I said, basically, not in so many words, I'm an old white guy who likes watching science fiction movies, and boy, that was a good film you made.
Okay. And I will have to check it out.
Well, he wrote back, and he said, you made my day. And he's now working on, he did a novelization version of it, the book version, and they're working on an audiobook version of it, and he's having a little trouble thinking, wrapping his head around how to do an audiobook. Now, I'm not volunteering to help. He's got his own talented people. But right. I said, instead of you reading it or having someone else read it, why don't you do it with different people's voices like a radio play? And he says, I never thought of that. Okay. Now, I'm not kidding. I'm kind of happy to talk with this guy to keep up with what's going on with him and things like that. 10 years from now, he could be another Steven Spielberg.
It could be.
Well,
could
be. You got to watch the movie and you got to look at the attention to detail.
I will check it out.
It blows away any other indie movie I've seen with a lot more money put into it. I didn't ask him exactly how much, but he was kind of chuckling, you know, saying, you have no idea how much this movie cost to make.
Well, that's often the case with indie movies.
Yeah, and they shoot them on digital, but it's good. I just honestly recommend. Oh, and also, there's no sex. There is no gratuitous violence in it.
That's refreshing.
The guy who comes out of the coma is trying to wonder what happened, and he's talking to a bartender, and the bartender goes, "Well, you know, do you believe in God?" And, you know, so there was a little bit of a religious pitch, but it was not one of these movies made by a church.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's on YouTube. It's free. Go look at it.
Okay.
His name is Lamont Grant. He's on Facebook, and I'll tell you, it's not a bad film, not a bad film whatsoever. And I could not even come close to the attention to detail and the acting ability he got out of these people that he hired. It's really good.
Okay. A good one.
Yeah.
Let's have another one.
Oh, you want another one? Okay. Another movie you probably haven't heard of. This one is from several years ago again, called Second Hand Lions.
Okay.
Michael Caine and Robert Duvall. And they play two older guys who are now well retired. They have a small house somewhere out west in the middle of nowhere. And there's a great scene where some sales guy drives up. There's nobody around them. There's no other home. Some sales guy, insurance thing or something, drives up in a car, and they both pull shotguns from out of their rocking chairs and fire them off into the air. They don't want to be bothered by anybody. But there's a little kid they meet, young boy, and they start weaving tales about their past lives. And of course, this goes into where they've been and what they've done according to the stories that they're telling. And these guys have got adventures from around the world that, you know, would be like from around, like a Jules Verne around the world in 80 days. And they're lavishly produced, and these guys get into all kinds of tight situations and get out, and they save some Arab potentate's son, a prince, from something. It just goes on and on.
This
and
one gets good reviews from the users.
It is a beautiful, gorgeous film. I will not give you the ending.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you got to go see that one. Now, you want one more?
Oh, sure.
No, I like Michael Caine. I'm sorry. This guy, he plays the same character in all the movies. I mean, he just kind of talks. He's just great. Yeah,
I've always liked Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since he did, was he in the Ypres file?
Oh, yeah. He played Harry Palmer. In Len Dayton's spy movies. He also, by the way, kind of bought the rights to the character Harry Palmer and did more, two more like made for cable or made for DVD movies after that were the same kind of movie with the same character, only a guy who now has his own detective agency. So it's kind of cool.
I liked him in Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Yes.
In which he was ultimately a bad guy.
Yeah, he was good. He also did a movie several years ago called Blue Ice, made for HBO, where he played a retired guy who had obviously been involved in something in the intelligence field. He had a new name now, but he liked gourmet cooking and jazz, which is, of course, what the character Harry Palmer liked, too. So it was called Let's Make a Harry Palmer Movie Without Paying Copyrights.
There we go.
But in this one, this is a 1985 movie called Water. Michael Caine and Valerie Perrine, whatever her last name is, a bunch of other actors in it. He plays a British diplomat who is very comfortably ensconced on a small West Indian island of no consequence where he is simply collecting his check and enjoying the atmosphere. And then an American development company discovers there's really high quality mineral water on this island and begins drilling it and canning it. Kind of like Fiji water, you know?
Sure.
And what this does to the economy of the place, everybody gets money, all kinds of tourists start coming. Anyway, it's a very funny movie called Water.
Found it here. Let's see, the reviews are pretty good. Nines and tens.
All right. Now, this last one here, before I turn it over to you, this movie bombed as in it did. It flopped.
Bombed.
Flopped. Boom. Busted. No good. Made no money whatsoever. Star-studded cast. I mean, everybody you can think. William Devane was the main character. A whole bunch of people in it that you have heard of. It was called Honky Tonk Freeway. And with Florida being in the news so much, I thought it was worth watching again. Small town in Florida, between here and there, they make their living by getting people to stop with all kinds of attractions, like the water skiing elephant and the souvenir stands and all of the other stuff that you see along the interstate.
I see David Rashi, Howard Hessman, Terry Garr, Peter Billingsley, who was the little boy in A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Bo Bridges.
Yeah, no, it's full.
Beverly D'Angelo, Daniel Stern. My gosh, you're right. It's star-studded.
Yeah, it's full of, and he plays the mayor of this town who discovers after all of the, they try doing everything they can with the federal government to convince them that that they're building a freeway which is not going to have an off-ramp to their town, the town of Ticklaw. Anyway, and so what can they do? They can't seem to get it to change, and they try. So they, little by little, you see all of these, you know, all these signs for the, you know, the water skiing elephant and the house of whatever, you know, being being torn down. So they do the only thing they think is rational to do in Florida. They blow up the interstate.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it works fine. Yeah. Anyway, it's a silly movie. It's a funny movie. It's got all these stars playing cameo roles, and particularly pretty harmless.
I see. Even Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy.
Everybody's in this movie. Everybody is in this movie. And it's just as silly as you can possibly imagine. I think there's a couple of nuns that are humorous characters in it, but nothing terribly offensive. You know, they're driving down the interstate at 45 miles an hour and stuff like that. But anyway, no, but it's a funny movie. Got a bunch of good diversions. These things are usually available on Amazon or whatever streaming service you could possibly imagine these days. But that's good. Now, you saw a movie, and I saw a movie, and maybe I will let you describe it a little bit. It came out in 2020, and it is a science fiction time travel thingy, action movie, and it does have some brutality in it, I must admit.
We're talking about Tenet, right?
Yeah, T-E-N-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was reading a review of it, and what the guy was saying was, don't try to follow the plot of this movie, just enjoy it.
Yeah, it is a little bit confusing if you try too hard to get into what's going on.
Yes, exactly.
But it is really well done.
There is something going on where the future is planning on being at war with the past to do something, and they keep finding little artifacts that come from the future, but they've been reversed. They do everything backwards.
Okay.
And they finally figure out how to travel back and forth to try to figure out what's going on and to deal with the events before they happen or after they've happened. But whenever they do it, everything else is moving backwards, and they're moving relatively normal to our time.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys even have to wear a special mask to bring oxygen with them because their bodies will not absorb the oxygen that has been reversed into their lungs.
Oh, my.
Anyway, it's a pretty good movie. There's a really nasty, awful, brutal, kind of an Eastern European character who gets his comeuppance, I should tell you. But actually, in real life, he's played by a very, very charming British man. So, who apparently relished playing the bad guy, big time bad guy. Again, it's getting into, there was a period around about 2020 where they began doing these attempts at what they called pure science fiction. No monsters, nothing with tentacles, no ray guns.
All right, good.
But not bad. Not a bad film. Not a bad film at all.
Well, as long as we're talking about time travel, I'll bring up one that I saw some time back, and it's from 2013. And the reason it came to my mind was because the other day I was looking at some Facebook groups, and there was a lady playing auto harp and singing a song called How Long Will I Love You? And I said, well, I know that song. That's from a movie called About Time. And it stars Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams. And Rachel McAdams is in this movie, one of three movies in which she plays the love interest of a time traveler. The other one that I can think of offhand is The Time Traveler's Wife. And I can't remember what the third one was. But the crux of About Time is, at the age of 21, Tim discovers that he can travel in time and change what happens and has happened in his own life. He finds out from his father that all of the men in the family can do this. Well, of course, he doesn't believe it until he tries it. And he decides to make this world a better place by getting a girlfriend. And it turns out to be not quite as easy as you might think. But Rachel McAdams is just a sweetheart in this movie. And it's what I would call a romantic sci-fi. It's just delightful.
Yeah. That reminded me of another one I saw recently called The Needle in the Time Stack.
Okay.
Which is also a romance. But it's in the future where time travel has been invented and actually very much made workable. But number one, it's very restricted. And number two, you have to have a lot of money to get a permit to use it. And what happens is this guy is madly in love with this woman. She's madly in love with him. I believe they are married. She's kind of an artist photographer, and he's a kind of a serious guy, but they met somewhere, and it was just the perfect romance. Turns out that her boss is very jealous, and so he goes back in time to make sure they never meet.
Oh, dear.
And it's quite remarkable.
Interesting.
Very nicely acted. There's a whole bunch. They must have discovered somewhere in the indie world, they must have discovered it is not terribly expensive to make a time travel movie. and far better than the movies filmed in the woods. You know, the a group of college students go on a picnic and they discover a horrible secret in the woods of New Hampshire. No.
Well, I'm sure that both of us have seen the original Rob Taylor version of The Time Machine.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Did you see the remake?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
What I enjoyed about it was that Alan Young, who was a supporting character in the original, had a cameo role in the remake.
Right. And also, I had seen the remake of it, the first remake, I should say, of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh.
and they had the guy who was the main character from the 1955 version at the end being the character that was seen in the 1955 version, running around the street saying, they're here, they're coming, look out. So these little cameo roles like that are always kind of fun little they call them Easter eggs for the sharp person to notice. It was like, yeah, Alfred Hitchcock was in every one of his movies.
Oh, just about everyone. Yeah. And a lot of other directors have picked that up. Stephen King shows up in almost all of his movies, yeah, even if only for 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's good. There's a lot of movies out now. My gosh, if you want to see Killing and Slaughter, there's plenty of those available. But too many. But there's a surprising number that are, I would say, if not uplifting, at least pleasant.
That's true.
And that's good to get away from the misery going on. And also, quite a few wholesome movies. I'm really quite pleased to see much more diversity in Asian actors and all kinds of people getting mainstream and all working together. Of course, we must remember that in the world of television, one of the pioneers of that was the original Star Trek series.
True, very true.
They had some really corny props.
And
the reason they beamed down and beamed up was because it was cheaper than having a model rocket land. But they really broke some ground on that. And now in the movies, there is more of a recognition that in real life, when you walk around, you see people of all different looks and races. And so maybe they should be in the movies too. And I'm seeing less smoking. I don't think anybody was smoking in that movie that Lamont did.
Okay.
Just interesting. But
speaking of Star Trek, one of my favorites of the last 20 years or so was the first of the Star Trek reboot with Chris Pine as Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
I thought that was, and that also had a cameo, of course, in it by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. They keep rebooting and rewriting that series. Isn't there something on cable now? There's, it's not the next generation. It's like another generation or something like that. Well, I have not been able to keep up because of my time. I can't devote time to watching a movie that leaves you hanging till next week.
Well, that's true.
And they've mastered that to such an extent that, that if you're going to start watching The Adventures of Fill in the Blank, Buffy the Vampire Killer, or whatever it happens to be.
Have you watched Good Omens?
No, I don't have any cable or anything to watch these things.
Oh, but that's on Amazon.
Oh, well, I don't watch Amazon. Same reason.
I'll tell you, it's a limited series, I can give you the crux of it. An angel and a demon meet at the creation. And they become sort of friends while knowing that they're on opposite sides. And then it kind of follows them over the course of thousands of years of history and comes up to just about the present day. And Armageddon is just about to happen. And they're trying to figure out a way to prevent it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you see, again, I can't take the time to commit myself to a series, unless it's something really, really good. And I frankly cannot remember the last one I watched. We just don't do it. I'm not being snobby. Don't get me wrong.
I understand.
Yeah, but between, doing the dishes and taking care of cat boxes and making dinner and trying to write an audiobook, I don't have time. This watching of movies for me is my equivalent of, after things are so hectic, of sitting down and having a beer.
Yeah.
You know, I sit down and I put one of these movies on and my brain shuts off.
There we go.
Yeah, which is good. I gave up watching movies for 40 days for Lent. I had to supplement it with audiobooks for a little bit, and I did do some reading as well.
That's not a bad thing.
But I must admit there is the anesthetizing value of motion pictures.
Oh, very much so. No question about it.
That is good. And for sometimes you want to get away and just do that. Now, you mentioned auto harp playing. People may not know this. How long have you been playing the auto harp?
Well, it's a question that has several answers, because I actually started playing the auto harp in about 1977. And when my daughter was born, I would use it to sing her to sleep until she was about 3-4 years old. I even bumped into a picture. I was digging around for something else, and I found a picture of me playing the auto harp for her when she was just barely able to sit up on her own. And when she got, and I use quotation marks, too old to be sung to sleep. She was you know, up around 7-8 years old, and I wasn't doing that as much anymore. The auto harp kind of went on up on the shelf and stayed there. So we're talking from what, 1977 until around the time that my daughter got married, 10-12 years ago, and then had a couple of boys, and my wife who has since passed away, said, "Oh, you got to get that auto harp and play for the boys." Well, by that time, my daughter had custody of the auto harp, but she hadn't been doing anything with it, so I took it back and practiced up on it, got it tuned up, and played a little bit for the boys, but didn't spend a lot of time on it. When my wife passed away, and that's 5.5 years ago now, I ended up at a point where I had settled everything out, and I had some cash to spend, and I said, time to do something for myself. And I said, well, I've always wanted a 21-chord auto harp. So I did some shopping around and found one. And then at the same time found out that right nearby, there's a world-class auto harp teacher. People in the auto harp world around the world know of Karen Mueller, who is my teacher. And she's just a sweetheart. She helps me with the rock and roll stuff that I like to play. She's fine with me playing hymns. And then she teaches me Celtic stuff and fiddle tunes and so forth. So that was about 5 years ago, you know, four or five years ago that I picked it up in earnest. And I tell people it's what keeps me relatively sane.
Well, you know, one thing I keep thinking about is the idea that picking up something new is good for you, to learn something new. People go, oh,
you know, there's an old saying, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. And what that means is do it for the enjoyment.
Right, right.
Even if you never get good enough to be on a concert stage, if you enjoy it, that's enough.
Well, that's kind of my attitude towards photography. I can very well explain to other people how to use cameras. Mm-hmm. I cannot, to save my life, explain to them how to take beautiful photographs, because I don't know how.
Okay.
All I can tell them is that the physical technique, you know, and I've written books on this stuff and magazine articles and, you know, what the lens does and how the shutters work and all that stuff. But when it comes to, like, how to compose the perfect picture of your child, don't ask me, you know, I have no idea. Yeah. But that's just, but I still enjoy taking lots of pictures.
If you enjoy it.
And of course,
who cares?
Yeah. And also with the 2 years or so of being essentially locked down and not getting out much, I was just going through an external hard drive on my computer. And my gosh, I have more pictures of my cats than I've ever seen. Every time I get an old camera out or some digital camera I found someplace, you know, on Shop Goodwill or whatever, you know, I test it out on a what? One of the cats.
Well, you know that I just had data restored on an old hard drive of mine, and I'm looking forward to getting home tonight and taking a look at it, because I happen to know that it has hundreds and hundreds of old pictures that I took. And I haven't been able to access this drive for over 5 years. So it's going to be fun to go back and look at these things.
It will be. I found a hard drive. I had backed a bunch of stuff up on a computer from 3 generations ago, and I found a bunch of pictures and screen captures and other stuff. It was just fun to look at. I even found a picture that was very appropriate for this week that was taken of me about after I had been in the Army for 2 weeks. And I looked like a 50-pound sack of potatoes in a 25-pound sack. But anyway, it's just, you know, oh my gosh. And by the way, people, Paul mentioned something that's very important for those of you who are taking digital photos. And please, for those of you who have confirmations and weddings and these things on VHS tape, get them copied onto something else.
Back them up.
That videotape is falling apart. Somebody paid a whole bunch of money, and I mean serious money, at an auction for a sealed VHS copy of Back to the Future.
Oh, my.
And it was owned by one of the main characters, the guy who played Biff. And the reason it went for like whatever, $100,000 or some ridiculous amount, was that he was sending an autographed letter to go with it. But nonetheless, number one, they're not going to open it, you know. And number two, if they did, they would probably find it would not be even playable because the oxide flakes off. But yeah, if you haven't looked at your wedding video for a long time.
Unfortunately, I lost some of the best VHS video that I ever had because my wife, God rest her soul and God bless her, she accidentally recorded over it.
Yeah.
It was my daughter at about the age of 4 and me out on a hike.
Yeah. Or, you know, they'll place it somewhere near a speaker with a big magnet. And all of a sudden the picture will go in and out. There's nothing permanent. I mean, digital keeps changing.
Well, that's true.
Already DVDs are on their way out. USB sticks are big right now, but who will be doing the thing next time? There's the online storage in the cloud. There's really the only thing that's relatively permanent is having a print made.
Well, that's true, relatively.
Yeah, right. And not an inkjet print. We're talking about a dye print, a real print made. And so if you got a picture or something of an important event, get a print made. And maybe don't hang it up. Maybe get 2 prints made. Hang one up. Put the other one in a folder. Put it in a safe place. Out of the light.
Where it stays dark.
Yeah, and most of my pictures of my cats... No, I mean, they're very important to me, but I mean, not, you know, like, okay, how many do you need? But occasionally I will make a few. You know, the funny thing is I have black and white Polaroids from 1965 that still look just fine.
Was it a swinger camera?
Yes, it was.
I had one of those, too.
Yeah, and the darn things are still there. I mean, it's just like, gee whiz, you know, me in high school, oh boy. But that's a little sidebar to this whole thing, is that digital, as I've been saying over and over in several articles in past years, the photography industry has been taken over by the computer industry.
That's true.
And the computer industry's idea of a really long time is about 18 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, that's colliding head on with people wanting to preserve their memories.
Right.
So be careful about that. Although I must say, I do have a little Polaroid camera that uses something called Zinc, Z-Ink. It's a little piece of cardboard paper about the size of a business card, maybe a little larger, and you get like 10 of them and you stick it in this thing. And if you wish, you can take your digital photo and you press a button and it prints it out right in the same camera.
Oh, interesting.
And it'll last about 15 years, they say. Not bad for what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the self-preservation of your memories thing.
Back it up.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, people have got, like I say, they've got weddings, they've got confirmations. We have an ordination that was going on this week. As we speak, practically, it's going on. Mm-hmm. There are things you want to save. And people's wedding photos, I'll tell you.
I learned my lesson with this external drive that I just had the data restored from because I didn't have a backup to it.
Yeah, yours just stopped working and you loaned it to me to see if I could look at it to make it work. I was afraid to touch it because I did not.
I'm now backing up once and I'm about to set up a second backup.
Yeah, yeah.
For everything, every night.
And the experts say that the more different ways you back up the more chances you'll have a copy. But the other thing one security guy said was people will back up their most important photographs and documents onto a USB stick or something like that, and they'll store it in a desk drawer in their house, and then their house catches fire.
Yeah.
You put it.
I mean, that's not funny. But
that's what happens, yeah. Or a flood or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
If the stuff is really important to you, put it in a safe deposit box.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't cost that much money.
True.
And the same thing with anything real precious that you don't look at every single day of the week, whether it be a precious rosary that you don't really use all the time because it's too fragile or whatever. Maybe you don't want to leave it in your house all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. But for people who, getting back to the harpsichord, for people like me. See how stupid.
Everybody does that.
I'm one of them.
Harpsichord is a keyboard instrument.
That's right.
The auto harp is a member of the zither family, actually.
And how does one play it?
The auto harp, it's interesting because it was invented in part in the late 19th century as music for dummies. There were guys who would go door to door to houses where they were quite sure that there wasn't a piano, and they'd say, oh, look at this, and they'd press one button down and strum the strings, and magic, a chord would come out, and they'd say, look, just press a button and you have beautiful music. What it is mechanically, it's a zither. It's got the typical auto harp, has 36 or 37 strings on it, all tuned to different notes up several scales, and the chord bars, which are operated with springs, will damp the strings that you don't want to play.
Okay.
And then you strum, and the ones you don't want to play are damped out, and you'll play a chord.
All right. That sounds simple enough.
It sounds simple enough. Well, where it gets interesting is when you start to try to play melodies.
Yeah.
Which was something that my teacher got me into within about 2-3 weeks of doing lessons. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, so, but it's kind of the trend among auto harp people these days is to get some melody picking into it.
Interesting.
It's still a great instrument just for accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to sit around the campfire and sing some Kumbaya and that kind of thing, and just strum chords, it's great.
Now you mentioned,
and it's easy to learn for that purpose.
You mentioned that you do some rock music and also hymns. What hymns do you play on the auto harp?
Oh, well, you know, I try to stick to the familiar things like How Great Thou Art, The Ash Grove, which is also known as Let All Things Down Living, A Song of Thanksgiving to God Our Creator, Triumphantly Raise. Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, which is also known by its old name, Hifredal, which my teacher plays a beautiful version of. But then I do some contemporary stuff, too. You know, someday I'll play for you my favorite rock and roll Easter song.
I just sent Paul a link to a YouTube song video by that group called The Dead South, which apparently are more popular than I realized, of The Doors, People Are Strange.
Yes.
All done on banjos and things like that. And
banjo, mandolin, guitar, and string bass.
And now you have submitted that video to your teacher saying, maybe we could learn to play this on auto harp, right?
I did it the other night at a jam.
Are you kidding?
And I actually pulled it off when it got to the solo in it.
Ah! Well, it's good. Unfortunately, the thing is that it does require two hands to work, right?
The auto harp, yes.
Yes, and I do have two hands. Don't let me scare anybody, but I'm incompetent.
Well, actually, it's not that difficult, Jack. It doesn't require, you know, chewing gum and walking at the same time.
I had some small success in grade school playing a trumpet because all I had to do was use one hand and blow through it. I had less success trying to play a saxophone because I had to use two hands and blow through it.
This, to me, is nowhere near as complicated as playing a guitar.
Good.
And I failed at guitar. One reason I failed was because I was too lazy to build up the calluses on your fingertips.
Yeah.
And the other was just memorizing all those patterns for chords.
Yeah.
Now, on an auto harp, typically, all your chords are labeled on there. Uh-huh. And you got one button per chord.
All right, this is not too hard.
No.
This is good because we have people listening right now. And now, thank goodness we're not, this time of year, we're not locked down right now. I mean, I get out a lot more than I did for the past 2 years. I'm still pretty careful when I go out with crowds.
Time for you and me to go out and get some Chinese.
That's right. We're doing that. We go to our favorite buffet. But there could come a time as the flu season comes in and things get crazy again, which unfortunately the naysayers are claiming will probably happen. There's new strains of the virus coming out, and they are working on something new. They're saying, you know, instead of giving shots, we're working on a nasal thing we can put in, because really, in most cases, your nose is the primary entrance point. If we can put it in there and kind of condition your nose, I guess, it can stop it in its tracks. But remains to be seen. They're working. Yeah. Folks, they're working really hard to try to get over this whole mess. It'll get there one of these days. But in the meantime, if we have to kind of like pull back a little bit this fall, learning something to do different. My wife has been playing word games. They're not exactly crossword puzzles, of course, but there's one where you have a center letter in the middle and you must use it. You can use all the other letters as many times as you want, but you always must use this letter. And it gets pretty interesting to see if you can do, you know, a long word, a short word, things like that. In fact, she kept asking my advice, like, okay, here's 5 letters in this letter. Can you make a word out of it? And I came up with a few she hadn't thought of. So I went out and we bought a Scrabble set.
I was just going to say, it sounds like it's related to Scrabble.
Yeah. You have to understand, I was the only child. I seldom had anyone to play board games with. I had a friend of mine that I played Monopoly with when I went to his house. But this is all foreign stuff to me. So I got the Scrabble set, and we'll probably break that thing out one of these days when we don't want to go outside and it's not nice out. And if we can keep the cats away from it, we'll... we'll give it a try. But it's a good time to do that. It's a good time to investigate new things. Maybe you don't like science fiction movies. Maybe you think you don't like science fiction movies because all you've seen is things like Alien, you know, with this thing biting the heads off people. and there is, you know, there's a lot of the so-called pure science fiction, which I find a little bit too rarefied atmosphere for my taste. You know, come on, there's got to be something more exciting happening.
Oh, for some people, it is a religion.
Yeah, it's true. And hey, speaking of that, I want to.
Yes.
I'm going to flip the commentary here. We've got a few minutes to go.
Go right ahead.
Good comment you mentioned. I was just reading, and I've been thinking about this for weeks. I think it may have been in Wired magazine or maybe one of the online newspapers that people who have given up on religion, the church and I. We don't get along, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Are now devoting their time and energy to a project at work and with as much zeal as their religion. So, you know, they're over at Binkydine, right, you know, Industries, and the CEO has got this new app that is going to be a world changer. It's going to change everything. And these people are putting in 70, 80 hours a week to develop this app with a zeal that would make a person who was a daily communicant, and when they weren't, they were going to adoration, look like a piker. And what happens then, though, the problem is, and that's not real good to begin with as far as I'm concerned, but what happens then is that the product either fails, or the CEO is offered a whole bunch of money to give it over to some bigger company, and does.
Yep.
And these people are cut loose.
It's gone.
It's gone. And it would be kind of like if you suddenly discovered that there was something about your church or whatever that was untenable, and the feeling you'd have. I had not heard of this before.
It's an interesting concept, though.
Yeah. All I can think of is that make a little more effort to understand what religion is all about.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say so.
Yeah. There's so much out there you could look at.
Well, so many people have left on a whim. Oh, I didn't like that priest, I'm not going back to any church ever again. Well, you know, like Pope Francis said, the church is a field hospital.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, and we're all sinners, the priests included.
Yeah. Boy, the thing that I keep mentioning about not me, But the show is that I get to come into contact with people doing so much good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we had a guy on last week from Catholic Charities. He used to be a bank or finance company loan, house loan guy who was in charge of foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And he got really sick of it. And so he went to work for Catholic Charities, and he began helping people to learn how they can avoid foreclosures.
Wonderful.
And now he's working with that and also in providing low-cost housing.
Yeah.
You know, so much more fulfilling than say, oh, give me the keys to your house. But and also, I forget how many thousands of people he's helped. But it's just, it's the same thing with any church you go to, any Catholic church. Get involved with the community there. And as I said last week, go to the priest and say, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
You may have some special...
No, they'll come up with something.
Yeah, and you may have some special talent they really need. Who knows? But don't devote your life to the next big thing in some corporate chain, you know, the app that's going to make everything different on the iPhone.
It's probably not going to make you happy.
No, it's not going to make you happy. And also, you know, like 18 months later, something better will come along. That's the computer industry for you. Well, Paul, I think we should probably sum this up. I had a lot of fun chatting with you today. It's kind of a relaxing...
Always good to be with you.
It's a relaxing summer show. We need to talk about just what's going on in life and to, you know, have a little fun. Have a little fun. Well, I will look forward to your next journey down to the greater La Crosse area.
And I look forward to it.
And join you for lunch. And keep up. When you get a good recording of something you've done on the auto harp, I need to get a copy from you. We may be able to.
Well, I actually tried to put something together for you for this show, but was unsuccessful.
Well, with
the time limit.
Yes, we was kind of a short notice for you. Well, we'll get together on that. And I can't guarantee that my newly acquired $30 banjo is going to get into production anytime soon.
Well, I want to hear you playing People Are Strange on it.
Oh, yeah.
We can jam.
Well, folks out there, don't hold your breath. We'll try. Anyway, Paul, so good talking to you. And hang on a second, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
It's summertime.
We have a few final comments coming up at the end of the show. As you well know, gasoline prices have gone through the roof. You go to the food store and your food bill is 25% more than you thought it was supposed to be. The old income and outgo do not necessarily match up. A couple of things you can do, actually several things you can do. Number one, if you can support various charities that are supplying food, clothing, things like that to people, assisting them with Catholic Charities, of course, the credit counseling, all those things, please make a donation. Please do that. Also, if you want to do some general help, please respond generously to the Bishop's Annual Appeal. That money goes in and goes right back out to all these different agencies, these parishes, all these things going on. So you can help in a lot of different ways. If you are strapped for cash, and believe me, many of us are right now. One thing you can do on a weekend or something is go through the house with your kids or whatever and find a bunch of stuff that you really aren't using. Are you ever going to use, you know, that second toaster or that ironing board or that iron for that matter? Collect it up, put it in your car or truck, and take it to a St. Vincent de Paul or Salvation Army or any religiously based thrift store. And if you don't have one of those nearby, just give it to Goodwill, because there's people who need these things who cannot afford to buy them new. And you'll get stuff out of your house, which will free up your environment, and they will be able to get things at little or no price. Most of these places have chits they can give to people who are recovering from homes that have burned and things like that, where they get stuff for free. This is also a wonderful teachable moment for your kids. I remember there was a young lady who came back from one of the missionary trips down to Peru, and she came back, and the first thing she did when she went to her room, she goes, I have way too much stuff. And she collected it all, and she gave a lot of it away to people who didn't have stuff. Jack Zosia here with you on Connecting the Diocese. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget you can hear these shows again by going to diolc.org/connecting, and you can listen to them or download them for free, and you can drop us a note at connecting@diolc.org. This week, of course, I mentioned the ordination going on. This will be repeated on YouTube as soon as it's over, practically. They'll get it up there. So if you are missing it, you can catch it again by going to YouTube and looking up Diocese of La Crosse. You should be able to find it. What an adventure these young men are embarking on after years of preparation and maybe even longer years of questioning whether they should do it or not and made the decision. It's really quite nice. I have a minor memory. which really is pales to insignificance compared to what these gentlemen are about to embark on. But on June 27th, 1966, I joined the Army. And on June 26th, the night before, I didn't go out drinking. I was too young. There was no place to go anyway. I didn't go see my girlfriend to say goodbye because I didn't have a girlfriend. And I must say that along with being a little bit scared and wondering, I honestly felt probably never so alone in my life because I was leaving behind my high school days. I was leaving home for the first time. You know, it was just, I had no idea. I was alone. It was just me and the world. My father came into the room. He was a veteran of World War II, which, of course, had only ended 20-odd years earlier, and he handed me a little piece of paper. It was a prayer card he had carried all the way through World War II, and he gave it to me. So one of the nicest things he ever did, and of course, I carried it through my term in the Army, and I still have it carefully preserved in a glass shelf in my office here. So I do understand the feelings of these priests. They're not feeling alone, however. They're not feeling alone. They are being embraced by the church, by their brother priests, by everyone, and they have a big adventure on their way. A few years earlier, when I was a freshman in high school, a song came out, I think 1963, I suppose. It was the theme from an Otto Preminger movie called The Cardinal. It was sung by Frank Sinatra, and it was called Stay With Me. Now, I wasn't particularly religious back then. And basically, I was being raised as a Methodist in a very nice church with Sunday school. But, you know, frankly, I had no idea what a cardinal was or even what religion was attached to being a cardinal. But for some reason, I loved this song. And I bought a copy of it on a 45 RPM record. I've had it with me all these years. It's, of course, now available online. And I've played it periodically. I want to play a version of it to honor our brand new priests, because the lyrics are more than just religious lyrics. They're more a prayer and a yearning, which I very much have embraced. And I went around looking for other versions than Frank Sinatra. He's great, and I like the version. It's a beautiful job. But I wanted to find something different. Most of the versions that are out there are not real good. They take the original song and they do a little computer thing to remove Frank Sinatra's voice and drop in their own. And it doesn't really work. But I did find one artist, which I will play for you, who does a really decent version of it. So to honor our new priests, to pray for them as well, here's a song that I think is very appropriate to end the show. A singer named Michael Shimamoto. You can find him on YouTube by typing in the Cardinal theme cover. You have a good, safe beginning to summer. And I really appreciate you listening every single week. My name is Jack Socia. Catch you next week on Connecting the Diocese.
Should my heart not be humble, should my eyes fail to see, should my feet sometimes stumble on the way, stay with me like a lamb that in springtime wanders far. From the fold comes the darkness and the frost. I get lost, I grow cold. I grow cold, I grow weary, and I know I have sinned, and I go seeking shelter, and I cry in the wind. Though I grope and I blunder and I'm weak and I'm wrong,
pray still.